I think I'm live. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above today. Happy Veterans Day to all of those of you who are veterans or who have a veteran that you know and love. We thank them for serving our country well. In every country around the world has veterans. I'm sure they all celebrate in some way. And it's time for us to remember those people and to honor those people in our lives who played that role of protecting freedom or the sovereignty of your own nation. And today we have a lot to go into. I don't even know what came over me when I was thinking, oh, we could do all of this today. First of all, we are going to talk about the 12th house of the astrology chart. It's our final walk through one of the houses in the astrology chart. And the 12th house is a very deep place, deep, lots of meanings, lots of different opinions about what that 12th house means. So I want to break that down for everybody and make sure everybody has an understanding that it isn't as scary as it could possibly be. I was just checking my phone. I apologize to see if Asa was telling me, where was I? But apparently I'm out there, so I don't need to worry as much. So anyway, the 12th house is what we're going to be talking about today. As well, we are in a new Human Design Week starting today, and it's a great one, all about insight and breaking through to your personal genius. And I'll share about what that's all about. Today, the sun has moved into the moon has moved into the sign of Libra, at least at 10 minutes, in about 8 minutes, the moon will be into the sign of Libra, having broken its void. Maybe my mind will get back on track. That would be good. At this point, I can't even find the notes that I wrote this morning. So pardon me while I shift things around a bit. There we go. So today we'll talk about what the new sign Libra brings with the moon and how it is that we can work with that energy. As well, today is the 13th day of our spiral of consciousness. You kind of get this feeling like things are just coming to this head. And that means that we also are moving into the void, if you will, or the womb, if you will, or the inner space where we can contemplate everything that's happened for us for the previous 13 days or 12 days and decide where it is that we go next, right? This is about ascension today. So let's start with the moon. And thank you, Asa. Thank you. Thank you. It was disturbing because when I first got on air this morning, or when I first opened up to start the show, Zoom didn't connect. So it just kept saying connecting. Connecting, you know, that little round circle goes around connecting, connecting. And so I'm checking my internet's on, everything seems to be fine. So what's the problem? And then voila, as soon as I released my tension around it and thought, okay, well, whatever, it came on. It's amazing how that works out. So let's start with the moon in Libra today. That's probably the shortest thing I have to talk about at the moment. And today, the moon in Libra, again at 8:10. So in just a few moments, that will be 11:10 for those of you on the East Coast. And before the move into the sign of Libra, we have a trine to Saturn. So remember, yesterday we had the trine to Jupiter, we had the trine to Pluto. And of course, that meant Saturn couldn't be far behind. So the trine to Saturn has also occurred, that we were left with that in the void, and the void, of course, moon. And so we've already been sitting with this idea of rebuilding and reconstituting and reinventing that sort of starts to take on a foundation or starts to take wings so that it can fly. We're putting all the right things in place in order to move forward. And that's a key thing that's been going on as we were going through all of the deconstruction phase. The destruction has occurred, and now we're in this shambles, if you will, right? The hurricane's already knocked everything down, and now we have to clear away the debris and make space for what's going to be new. And because it's been a sort of destructive kind of time, then what we build next must be able to be sustainable. Right? It has to be sustainable, has to have a strong foundation. So we get to contemplate that with the trine to Saturn. Now the Libra moon, Libra, as soon as the sun or the moon moves into Libra, we begin to strengthen the square energy between the moon and Capricorn and the Libran Aries opposition. And we know in Aries, we have planets like Mars in retrograde still, and Chiron and Eris. So we have some highly charged energy across from the moon. And then we'll also square anything in your own chart that is in Cancer. So we are kind of moving from the what will be, and we can see the possibilities, to the more, okay, now we have obstacles. What are we going to do? And how are we going to move through those? So the moon in Libra helps us to strengthen our relationships. So the relationships that might take us on into the future, the relationships that we have with ourselves, but also with others, because the relationship that we have with others is really sort of a mirror, a reflection of the relationship we have with ourselves. If you don't like the way that you see your relationships are going, then you've got to check in here, you first, to see why it is that that is happening, what's going on in that relationship. And of course, partnerships, marriage, and our agreements are also a part of the Libran moon, or the moon in Libra relationship focus. Fairness, Libra is a sign of fairness. That means balance and equality, diplomacy and negotiations. And I am seeing that hopefully our world is moving more in that direction as people begin to see that we can treat each other with more respect and not worry that we're going to be called disloyal or have other things thrown at us when we behave in a loving, calm, peaceful, and in a stance of tact and diplomacy. There's nothing wrong with those energies, right? Libra as a sign with the moon in it is the emotion of cooperation, of collaboration, of co-creation. We can create more, faster, even better when we come together than what we can do alone, right? There is lots of evidence about that, that the dynamic of two or more gathered creates a pathway to completing something or building something awesome, where it's more than what you might be able to do by yourself. So we have that energy today, as well as the energy of harmony, where Libra as a sign has this eye to the aesthetics, right? To beauty and to harmony, seeing where things are just a little tweak might make it so much better. And so that's the artistry engaged in that Libra moon that has a ruler of Venus, right? Venus is the ruler here. So peace, love, beauty, all of those energies, part of the Libran moon as well. Teamwork, right? This is a teamwork sign. This is definitely where collaboration, cooperation, and co-creation live. And it is where we support one another in moving forward, in our growth, in helping people get through whatever it is that the challenges are. We have a team behind us, right? And it isn't always just the physical world team that you might think of. There are also your angels or your guides. The unseen realm has its hand in aiding us when we call or we ask for that kind of help and guidance. And as any sign, as you know, we have the more negative aspects that are in the lower side of the expression of the energy of the sign. One for Libra is codependency. They get caught up in trying to make everything right for other people. They get caught up in appeasing behaviors, doing things that aren't true or authentic, just to make peace or to make things easier for others. There's indecision here. And it's not just Libras. You have Libra somewhere in your own chart where this appeasing behavior can happen, whatever house it's in. So for example, in my own personal chart, it's my fourth house. And where I play out those appeasing behaviors are with my kids and in my family, right? Always trying to make nice and make everybody happy. This happens inevitably every year, right around this time, as we try to, with a very large family, decide how it is we're going to come together for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, when everybody has these diverse schedules. And more than once, I have given up my thought of having anything on Thanksgiving or on Christmas so that we can accommodate other people who, for example, are working on the day after those holidays or on those holidays or up to those holidays. So here we can see where appeasing behaviors can be helpful because it's negotiating, it's diplomacy, it's tact, it's cooperation. But on the other hand, when you do that too often, especially personalizing that kind of behavior, it becomes a negative habit of giving yourself away. So we're having to watch that during this moon's transit. And of course, Libra, one of the indecisive signs, waffling, not because they're dumb, not because they don't know what to do, because they can see so many sides and how things might play out if I go that way or if I go that way or if I go that way. And then the decision is, oh, yeah, yeah, which one of those ways is better when all of them might seem to be equal. So indecision comes from getting too much up in the mind, not because they don't know what the right answers are. In your body, the parts of the body that may be upset during these kinds of transits in Libra might be the adrenals. You may find that you've been burning out, right? Burnout is a definite possibility, or at least the symptoms begin to show themselves during a Libra transit. And the kidneys, of course, diabetes, and the energy in the gluteus maximus, the buttocks, is covered by Libra, right? Interesting connection. I don't know. I have no idea why. Maybe, who knows? I don't even want to venture a guess. Let me go over here to YouTube and say good morning to everybody that's showing up here. Good morning, Pauline and Mimi and Corey. Asa, thank you so much for being out there. Brandon Esteban, 12th house is rough. My Capricorn is 12th house with Sun, Mercury, and Ketu. So Ketu, you're speaking in Vedic astrology. So I can't remember, is Ketu the North Node or is Ketu Rahu? I know Ketu Rahu. I'm not sure which one's which. So one of the nodes is in your 12th house. Well, you've come to the right place, Brandon, because today we're going to be talking all about that 12th house. And I'm hoping to upset what everybody seems to think of as the 12th house in some ways. So welcome, Brandon. It's good to see you. Good morning, Ursula and Kathleen Mallory and Debbie Johnson. She says, I'm here. LOL. We're glad to have you. Jennifer Peachy says, happy 11-11. Alisa, good morning. Asa says, happy 11-11 as well. Sylvester, grand rising, everybody, sending love and positive vibes. Asa reminding us that just 4 minutes ago, the moon entered Libra, although she knew it in the moment. Liz Schultz, good morning to you. Better together. Grateful to be here on 11-11. I didn't think about this, but many people may have the day off, right? And be able to join us this morning. So if that's what's driving the number of new people here, then welcome. We're happy to have you. And Asa says, wrapping love and light around you, Sylvester, for your family here. Jen Lack, good morning. She's right on time. Love it. Everybody saying hello. Kathleen Mallory in the seventh house. Wait, Kathleen said, oops, I have Venus, Sun, Uranus in Cancer in the seventh house. Okay. So the seventh house is ruled by Libra. Is that what you're trying to make the connection to, Kathleen? Seventh house Cancer, though, would be very nurturing and loving, taking care of, mothering people in your life. Asa says, LOL, I'm not sure what you're laughing at. Kathleen says also Ceri in Cancer. So Ceri is really short for the fixed star Sirius. So you're looking at it in your astrology chart. It'll say S-I-R-I, but really it's the fixed star Sirius, which sits at about 15 degrees of Cancer. Fixed stars have an effect on our astrology. They don't move throughout your life, or if they do, they move just very almost imperceptibly. And because they're moving with the precession of the equinoxes, if you will, so against the backdrop of the entire cosmos, not just our solar system or not just our Earth kind of system here. So the fixed stars are the same place for everybody. Everybody has Sirius in Cancer at about 15 degrees or so of the sign. Luminous Orchards, howdy, good morning to you. And she says, I have the day off and can finally join live today. Well, it's great to have all of you here. Kathleen Mallory said, you said anything in Cancer would be square to Capricorn. Nope, Cancer and Capricorn are opposing one another. What I was saying is anything in Libra would be square to Capricorn and to Cancer and opposing Aries. So if I said that and I misspoke, I apologize, but think about how, if you're looking at the chart, what lies, where are those angles, right? What is in a 90 degree relationship to the moon in Libra, right? So the moon in Libra would be squaring anything going on in Cancer, anything going on in Capricorn, and then opposing anything going on in Aries. So the same thing in your own chart. Now I see the connection that you're trying to make is that the Libra moon would be squaring the planets that you have in your seventh house in Cancer. Gotcha. And if you have, you know, that you don't even need to really, you don't even really need to look at the planets that you have in that sign, although you can, that just takes it another level, but you could look to the ruler of the house and, or to that sign, and it's the moon. So the moon rules Cancer, and now the transiting moon is squaring perhaps the house that holds the sign it rules, which means there could be some tension going on perhaps between you and a loved one in your relationship. So it might take all of your Libran skills of cooperation, collaboration, and peacefulness to override that sort of tension that you might be feeling there. So I hope that helps and gives you some ideas of how to use the information that I'm giving to you each day here. All right, so now let's jump into the 12th house because I feel like this is going to take a while this morning. I know you probably will have questions because the 12th house is a house that is difficult for astrologers sometimes to quantify and qualify because it has such a negative sort of connotation. The way that I look at having a 12th house sun and a 12th house Mercury, I can guarantee you it isn't all that bad, right? It isn't. I've survived quite nicely through the face of many challenges. So having a 12th house planet is not a death sentence. It is not you being relegated to suffering, because often that's a word that's bandied about for the 12th house. The 12th house is called the ruler of the unconscious. And that's where I like to look at it, the unconscious. So the 12th house is ruled by the sign of Pisces. This is the natural placement of the 12th house, not in each person's chart, but you have to know that in the natural wheel, Pisces is on the 12th house. And Pisces' ruler is Neptune. So Neptune is the planet that holds sway in that house. But in the older traditional astrology, Jupiter had rulership here. So we have the possibility of an empowered Jupiter or Jupiter in your chart, wherever it may be, pointing out some kind of connection to that 12th house, as well as Neptune. Now, in a big way, the 12th house of the unconscious can also be called the house of karma and the house of the hidden, because in the unconscious, we do not have access, the conscious mind does not have access to everything that is held there. It would almost be overwhelming for you as a soul to have easy access to everything that's come in the past, to all of the lifetimes you've ever led, to all of the things that you've done and not done well and not done so well. And so we sort of package that up and it's hidden there in our 12th house. Now it does make an appearance, right? It makes an appearance because the unconscious holds the memories of all that has come before and all that needs to be balanced, which is where the word karma comes in. So when I look at karma, I see karma as used as sort of a negative word, but it really isn't, right? It's just where things were a little bit out of balance in another lifetime, perhaps. And it could be that you focused too far into the negative in one lifetime. And in this lifetime, you're pulled to be more positive. So karma doesn't have to always be equated with suffering or having done harm in the past and now having to pay for your sins, as it were, in this lifetime. So for those of you who've heard, you know, the karmic relationship of the 12th house, it's definitely there, but it's not necessarily something that's negative. It is just your needing to balance things. The soul's requirement in coming into this lifetime was about bringing balance to something, right? So now, how do we face the demons of the past? Well, we have a choice in the 12th house. We sweep them under the rug or hide them away in the closet like skeletons, or we face them. Now, at least initially, often in the 12th house, we're not aware so much of what the secrets are that we hold or what those unconscious patterns might be. And so it's sort of like living out the South Node here, where we're behaving like things, you know, from the past, but the more that we try to do things that way, the less likely they work out, or we keep facing a block or some kind of limitation that's forcing us to take a deeper look. So everything about the 12th house then is about looking deeper. Where have you sort of shoved off things that you didn't want to deal with? Where did you choke down experiences in this lifetime or even in other lifetimes where you didn't want to deal with it, right? Something that happened to you, something that you might have done that you are ashamed of or you feel guilty for. So we sometimes will choke them down or hide them away. And unconsciously then at key times in our lives, those things come back, right? They come back out of the closet, like the skeleton opens the door somehow. And now you have to deal with the pattern here. So it's not about you being punished or sequestered away. It's about where are you in the level of willingness to look at and deal with the skeletons in those closets, right? Or the dust under the rug, those things that have lain hidden or out of sight for too long. Now, it's really important here that you have the choice, right? You have the choice to move forward when these things come up or to continue hiding. That's your real choice, right? So people often think that this is a house where you don't have any choice or free will. BS, I call BS on that, because you always have the choice. Your choice might be, how do I deal with this? How do I show up in a world where this is the problem that I need to deal with? So it's really important that in order to move forward, that you always have the choice. Right? You can stay stuck in those past patterns. You can stay stuck in the past and living from the past, or you can move ahead. This is a house often that they call the house of suffering. When I was first learning astrology and I discovered I had a sun in the 12th house, it was, oh man, serve or suffer, right? Everything you looked at said serve or suffer. And I'm like, what the bleep does that mean, right? What does that mean? Does that mean like I'm doomed in some way? You got the feeling that you were doomed. But I think in a way, it is where you're hiding in something, a skill, a gift, a talent that maybe you're afraid to bring out or bring up because maybe in another lifetime you were persecuted for that. And so in this lifetime, it's about bringing it out, right? Serving, sharing. So remember, I have an issue with that word serve because it just doesn't feel really good to say it that way. So I always think of serving as sharing of your gifts and your talents, sharing your bounty with the world as an act of service, right? As an act of compassion or as an act of being a human and living on a planet where we need to support one another. A lot of times the 12th house planets bring up a feeling of owing a debt, that there's this feeling that things are happening to you or around you, or that bad things seem to happen to you, that then you start to think, is there something that's going on, something that's happened, and I have to pay off a debt? So sometimes that feeling comes up, but it isn't true that you're doomed. That's the key here, that you're not doomed. Remember that the sign Pisces that rules this particular house is the sign of the fish. One fish swimming in the unconscious, the other fish swimming in the conscious. And that means that with the 12th house is often a place where we're bringing out from the unconscious into the conscious for healing, right? For healing. So the 12th house can often be a place of healing. And it's not just the healing of the body. That's the opposite house, the 6th house. That deals with the healing of the body, but this deals with the healing of the psyche. Right? Healing of the patterns that you came here as a soul to want to balance or harmonize in this lifetime. Now, the 12th house is often called the house of limitations or the house of imprisonment. I put imprisons, where we feel stuck or we feel confined. And in fact, the 12th house in mundane astrology rules things like jails, hospitals, asylums, institutions. So things like any institution that feels like it inhibits our free will or our freedom. So you could say things like the government or the medical institution or the education system. These are all institutions that in some way bring into focus our free will or our lack of it, such as the case may be. The 12th house is also a house of self-sabotage. Many a times what we find in the 12th house is the pain or the wound around this unconscious pattern or this unconsciousness becomes something that we use to continually stab ourselves in the back instead of being our own best friends. So instead of breaking the patterns that are showing up in your life, you just keep buying into it. And interesting here, because the 12th house can often sees us going into behaviors that dampen down the pain or the wound. So alcoholism or gambling or, you know, sex or things that we use as a way to numb the pain, drugs, alcohol, etc., right? So self-sabotaging, not seeing that we're holding the key. Oh, I don't have a necklace on, that we're holding the key right around our neck. And all we have to do is take the key and put it in the lock. And we would be able to find ourselves and discover more about the pain and the wound. Instead of trying to not feel it, we want to feel it, right? We want to bring it in. We want to be conscious about it. That's consciousness is where we hold the power to be able to do something about it, right? In the if it stays in the unconscious realm, it still sabotages us or it still wounds us in some way. So that's why this house is also called the house of secrets, of danger, of unseen enemies, of clandestine affairs, right? Things that we just, that are hidden from sight, right? Hidden from sight. And often that's, you know, more about what you are hiding from your own self, right? What's hidden from you. Now, here's where I like to go with the 12th house, that I believe that this is the house of positive transformation, where we have the power of choice. We can choose to continually swim in that unconscious part, like the fish in the unconscious part of the Pisces symbol, or we can choose to make it conscious. And when we embrace the past, when we embrace the possibility that, yeah, I messed up in another lifetime, or maybe I've continually messed up in this lifetime, and I apply things like forgiveness, I apply things like, you know, an honest assessment of where I am, and then I apply things like self-love, then I can rise above and move beyond into the positive transformation of my 12th house. Now, this is also the house of the subconscious mind. Now, you're going to ask probably what the difference is between the two, and I'm not sure from a psychological standpoint, maybe Ace is better equipped to answer that question. I'm not sure that there is a difference, but if we look at this as the house of the subconscious mind, then here's where a lot of symbolic things can come up for you that might show you in a symbol form what is going on. And it might be through dreams, it might be through intuition, it might be instinct, it might be magical or mystical things, it might be revelation. It could be all different types of ways. It could be actual psychic phenomena that symbolically shows you what is going on in your 12th house, what has been hidden from you. And those symbols then are very powerful direction finders, right? They help you go in a new direction. That's why when we do card readings and oracle things like that, those are symbols. They're holding the symbols of our collective need to move in a new direction, to release our collective 12th house. Or it could be, if it's a card for an individual, that it's what the individual, it's a symbol for what the individual needs to work through or work with. The 12th house, lots of planets in the 12th house often make for good psychotherapy, make for good psychiatry or counseling, work, either you being the receiver of that, or often I see people who have merged through their 12th house, especially if they have a connection to the 8th house or the 4th house, they often make good counselors or psychiatrists or psychotherapists themselves. And because this is a gate or an area of positive transformation, then it is also the potential for us to heal ourselves, right? Or to seek healing of whatever it is that we're discovering about the patterns that are going on in our lives. And this is also a place of giving, charity, altruism. It is where we really feel like a need that we want to share of ourselves with the world, serving through sharing. So we have that. And a funny other thing here, large animals like cows, horses, et cetera, those are also part of the 12th house. If you'll remember back when we talked at the sixth house was the house of small animals like cats and dogs, the domestic kind of home animals that we have. Well, the large animals take up space of the 12th house, which I don't know, that was just some random thing I found there. Now, in your own chart, what you do is you look at what the 12th house is. What is the sign on your 12th house? So if you have your own chart, the 12th house is just above the horizon. So it's a house that is hidden by nature because it's just behind the sun, if you will. So, or it represents just the time before dawn, right? Just before the sun rises. So that's why there's an instance here where we think of it being in the dark, where it's in shadow, where there are fears here in that 12th house, because it's the dark before the light. And you know how they always say it's darkest before the dawn. So here is the house of the darkest of the dark in your own psychology or in your own mind or in your own subconscious or unconscious. And planets here show us where there are shadows that we have to overcome, right? Each planet is going to show you something about what needs to be shown in your life. And connections that those planets make to the other planets are going to tell you, is this going to be easy? Is there going to be some challenges here? Is this going to be so uber easy that you don't even rise to the challenge, right? Sometimes there's that as well. So the connections that the planets in the 12th make to other planets is going to tell the story of where you have shadows to overcome and how relatively easy or difficult that is going to be for you. How are you going to show up, in other words, to move through those shadows? And then the house placement of that ruling planet is going to show you where it is that those shadows are going to pop up, or where does that shadow exist in you? So for example, if you have Gemini on the 12th house, then it might be an issue with communicating, right? That maybe in the wrong moments, things come out, right? That shouldn't come out, secrets exposed, right? That happens in human design all the time too. And it's pretty funny when it does. Connections of people, right? That they're really good secret keepers until someone with the opposite gate comes into their presence. And then I don't know why, but everything just spills out, right? It's pretty funny. So here though, the house placement, if you have Gemini on that 12th house, let's say, and let's say you have Mercury in there, Mercury and Gemini, Mercury rules Gemini. So we have communication as an issue. And then we'd have to look to see how other planets that might connect to that are going to aid you in solving those problems or are going to create more havoc for you. And it's, of course, the relationship of those planets that are going to help us do that. All right, Asa, how are we doing out there? Questions? Are people popping up saying things like, what's up? Oh, so Ketu is the South Node. Yay, 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 yay. So that's one of the things then, and I can't remember your name, who that was, Brandon, I think it was, that said he had Ketu in the 12th house. Well, Ketu would be, if it's the South Node, would also represent some contents in the unconscious, some past life issues that need to be worked out in this lifetime. That's the purpose maybe of this incarnation for you, is to work those out. And I remember you said you had other planets there. So at least initially, those planets are locked up, right? The energy of those planets gets caught up in that 12th house, and they can feel very inhibiting or very strict or very stuck. And the need is then to move through each one of the themes that that particular planet is bringing up for you in your life. And you'll see that through the lines of connection that it makes to other planets, as well as the sign that is sitting there. J-Lo has the sun in the 12th, so do I. And I have both sun and Mercury in my, well, actually now Mercury's in my first house. Ooh, that changes things up a bit, doesn't it? Ah, when I was using Placidus houses, I had the sun and moon, or sun and Mercury both in the 12th house, the sun in Gemini and Mercury in Cancer. But now that Cancer, because of my rising in Cancer, is the first house, my Mercury's moved to the first house. Aha, that makes more sense to me, actually, as I think about that. So let's take a look at what some of the planets in the 12th house might mean and what it might bring to you in terms of experience. So let's look at the scariest ones first, shall we? Let's look at Saturn as the 12th house. If that's your 12th house planet, then you have the shadow here of discipline. And it's a possibility that fear or depression, self-undermining, what's that, lack of self-worth, those types of things, but also general ideas of restriction. Maybe there's a health issue. Maybe there's been a family issue, something that has restricted your ability to be free. And literally, sometimes I've seen Saturn in the 12th house of people who have, for limited amounts of time, but also for longer periods of time, actually been incarcerated in some way or not. And you can be incarcerated in a literal way, like in jail because of breaking the laws or doing a crime, but you can also be imprisoned within a body that doesn't want to work the way you think it should work. You can be imprisoned by a financial status, like being poor in a country where you have no way to move upward, things like that. So it is a concern with Saturn in the 12th house that you've become too restricted. And so you have to be empowered in that case by Saturn's showing you what is opening up for you, right? What can you build upon if you take and do due diligence and you build one step after the other? So Saturn puts our spines into it, right? It tells us to pull our bootstraps up and to make our way, right? There's no easy way around dealing with things when you have a 12th house Saturn. It doesn't mean that it's horrible. It means that likely your soul, having been having the taste of freedom in other lives and just sort of free floating in this life, wanted more discipline, wanted more of that structure, wanted to be able to have a safe foundation in order to move forward. So if Saturn's there, then you have to come into right relationship with the ideas of structure and form, having a goal, taking step-by-step progress, discipline, right? Discipline. All right. Now let's put the opposite planet in there. One of the opposite planets of Saturn would be Jupiter. So when you put Jupiter here, now, you know, Jupiter in the 12th house, at least initially, can exacerbate the more negative qualities, I think, in the 12th house, exaggerating the fear that we're feeling about something, exaggerating everything, putting things out of proportion, right? Where we could be overeating, over drinking, overstimulated, overspending, and, you know, anything that you could put over in front of with Jupiter in the 12th house. There might be an unconscious need here for more, like filling a void, right? Filling the void. Jupiter might be exposing the void. And then what are you putting in the void, right? You might be over drinking. Maybe you're doing drugs. Maybe you're searching and seeking and not finding. You put Sagittarius there on that 12th house, and that's certainly a possibility where you're constantly looking for answers and not necessarily finding them, right? You keep going and looking and going and looking and not finding, and it can get very, it can be a sort of a non-ending process. And I see a lot of people out there like that in this with a Jupiter here that are constantly seeking answers or overdoing too much. So the real joy comes with Jupiter in the 12th house when you recognize your divine connection to that you're a divine nature, you know, that you are a human being in the physical world, but you're housing a divineness. And suddenly all of that spiritual seeking becomes wisdom, right? Suddenly you find yourself in the place of being sort of the mentor or the role model for others about how to heal the things that are going on in your own life. This is a generous spirit when you find Jupiter in that 12th house. Mars as the 12th house can kind of emphasize anger, rage, upset, frustration, that warrior energy, because that warrior energy is caught up in a house of the unconscious. It can be a lifetime, other lifetimes of a warring nature, or of having, you know, been having what you want to do taken away from you. And so you come into this life with that memory and that anger, that rage of not being free to do what you want to do. So an unconscious 12th house Mars may pick fights with people, create fights or conflict where none needs to exist. But the gift here is as you move through that unconsciousness and open yourself up to realizing there's something very unloving here. And what is that sourced to? And how can I heal that? Then forgiveness occurs. Then there is more enduring to heal from that frustration and that anger. Becoming a champion, perhaps, for others, being an advocate for the weak or the disenfranchised. So Mars here, at least initially in the younger years, can be very much a source of issues, but then you take what you've learned and you apply that and become something of a wonder, helping other people to overcome the same challenges that maybe you've been involved with. And Sylvester has Jupiter and Chiron in Cancer in the 12th. Wow. Okay, so we'll come back and we'll talk about some of those things too. The Sun as the 12th house ruler is being difficult to bring out your own light, right? This is your light hidden under a bushel. And so you either are doing things, a 12th house Sun can do one of two things. It can hide, become invisible. Like I like to wear my invisibility cloak sometimes. On the other hand, the 12th house can really overestimate their own abilities and their own becoming more arrogant or more narcissistic. It's an interesting, you know, dichotomy. The Sun is the ruler of the sign of Leo, right? So Leo is the drama and is the me kind of sign. And if you have the Sun in the 12th house, no matter what sign it is, somehow that me is hidden. And then there can either be frustration about that or using it to your advantage, again, over time. But you have to understand your own worth. You have to understand and be confident in your own gifts. And then you have to have the bravery, the courage of the lion to go beyond those fears and to emerge outward in the world, shining your light. I can tell you, being a 12th house Sun and J-Lo, you probably have had the same thing where stage fright or not wanting to be seen, not wanting to be heard plays a big role in your life. And with mine as Gemini there, it's about communication. And it took me a long time before I started really talking about my message or doing readings for people, because it was always hard for me to see my own worth in that or my own abilities in that, my own talents or my own skills. So the Sun eventually burns through that and you can emerge out of that shadow. Venus is the 12th house or in the 12th house, can have issues with a value. And in at least initially a Venus in the 12th house can see where other people's things hold value to you. Like you don't have your own things. So I'm going to value other people's things, desiring other people's things, coveting. That's the word I was looking for. Coveting other people's things. The gift of Venus here in the 12th house is you learn to go and you go and you find what it is that you value. and you lean into that. And rather than taking away from others, you find a new way to be able to get the things that support you, that you value, and be able to share those things with other people. It is the change from viewing things and people as objects into seeing them as something that has its own benefits, its own right, you know, it has a value of its in its own right, and can be a source of contributing to the value of the planet. So taking your own finances, perhaps in that case, who knows, we'll see what the connections are, but let's say it's connected to the second house, being able then to use your own resources eventually to help the disadvantaged, where at one point as a disadvantaged person, perhaps you were taking from others. And so that makes me think of, you know, people that at least initially have to steal or shoplift to get, you know, their needs filled. So learning about how to overcome that. And then from your largesse, you give. Mercury here is about the need to communicate, to speak. The words come out backwards sometimes. The wrong thought, your thoughts come easily out your mouth when what you meant to do was that was the thought and you didn't mean to speak it, but you did. So sometimes there is the inability to find the right word. I was just struggling through that myself, that Mercury sometimes it gets caught up here and can't quite deliver the words exactly, that the thoughts and the words don't come in tandem, that the thought is there, it's juicy, it's wonderful, but now how do I find the words to say it? So Mercury over time, and as you work with the shadow of Mercury here, you begin to slow down your thoughts and are able then to bring out the words that match the most important thoughts that you have to say. The moon here, of course, is also difficult, at least initially, in that it's about the emotional field. And there's a lot of moon things that go on here. For example, the moon rules the unconscious in some ways, or at least one face of it, the dark of the moon. So someone with the moon in the 12th house may go through many different phases, being moody, especially if their moon is in Cancer in the 12th house. There's a lot of moods that can be self-sabotaging, where you maybe enter into something because you're in a really good space, you're in a good mood and everything feels good. But as always would happen, the moon changes phases and there goes that feeling. And then possibly there begins the self-sabotage because now you've lost that loving feeling kind of thing, right? So becoming selfless, becoming self-loving is the role of the moon here in the 12th house. All right. Questions. I'm going to go look and see what Ace is saying here. Sylvester, oh yes, has Jupiter and Chiron in Cancer in the 12th house. So at least initially then with a Jupiter in the 12th house, we go back to the initial thing of overdoing, overgiving, overeating, overdrinking, just over imbibing, right? Doing things disproportionate to what would be normal. So we have maybe even some, what are those things called? The seven sins, the seven deadly sins. I don't know much about them, but one of them that just popped into my mind was gluttony, where again, a very Jupiter in the negative, right? Where unconsciously I'm trying to fill some kind of void within me. And it might be the void of having grown up without the parents or without love or without maybe always struggling for the next meal, struggling, just plain struggling in your childhood. And then initially as an adult, as you're dealing with the unconscious here, you're trying to fill the void that you feel with things or with drink or something like that. Then over time, what happens here is that you begin to see the light. You begin to see how you don't need those things to fill the void, that you become more than enough, or at least that's the transit, the way it should be happening, that you become more conscious of what it is that you're doing when you're trying to fill that void. And in Cancer, then it's also connected to the moon and emotion and nurturing, right? So either a lack of nurturing as a younger person, or becoming over-nurturing or being smothered or becoming smothering, when in fact here, Jupiter ends up striking the right balance for you, Sylvester, of taking care and of being cared for. And what was the other planet you had there? Chiron, the wound, right? So that even complicates it more, that at least I would say for your first 50 years, and I'm not sure how old you are yet, Sylvester, but at least your first 50 years, you may be dealing with a lot of fear, a lot of subconscious or unconscious patterns of things that are happening, that seemingly those traumas and those dramas that are geared to help you become more conscious and to become more alive and aware as to what's going on in those hidden places, to expose it, right? To bring positive transformation through the healing of the wounds, right? So, and with Cancer there, the moon as the ruler also means a lot of changes, right? Transformations going on in your life over time. Okay, let's see who else here. I don't want to deal with those right now, J-Lo, sorry, Sedna or Selena. Well, let's just say this, if you have the white moon, Selena, in the 12th house, then likely you have some kind of gift to help others or to help even yourself move through fear and limits and things like that. But I just want to stick with the regular planets if we can today. Ursula, North Node in Leo in the 12th house. So I think we've talked about this before, Ursula, that the Leo North Node is meant to follow their heart, meant to do what it is they love, following that inner impulse, that inner desire. And it's basically a sign that says, a sign with the North Node in it that says, do what you love and all the rest will be taken care of. But you live in a world where that doesn't always seem to be the case, right? We live in a world where we are conditioned to believe we have to work for something, that we have to go out and do, that we have to be something that other people think that we are. And in some ways, then it squelches our ability to live from the heart. And now you put that ability to live from the heart, or the North Node pushing you in that direction, it's telling you in the 12th house that the first way you have to deal with living from the heart is to get close to the heart, get to the self-love, get to the feelings, the reasons why you might not feel so self-loving. And I happen to know that in your human design, you have an open identity center. So part of that is a question about your lovability. Am I lovable? Do people love me? Because I can't feel love. I don't feel loved, right? There's a part of you that is always questioning that. And that might make it more difficult for you to follow your heart. And in this case, the North Node is telling you, follow your heart. Follow your heart, the heart right here, right? And let's see, Luminous Orchard has the North Node in the 12th in Virgo and Saturn. So you have Saturn and North Node in the 12th house in Virgo. Is that what you're saying, Luminous Orchards? If so, we go back to the very first thing that we talked about with Saturn here, is learning about discipline, learning about form and structure and doing your due diligence, being response able. And in the sign of Virgo there, Virgo sees the details. Virgo is perfection seeking, and maybe there's unbeknownst to you, or maybe now you're very aware of how you have been sort of trying to perfect yourself and finding fault with yourself. And that can also be finding fault with others, and others then showing you when it is that you're criticizing them or overanalyzing them. And indeed, with the 12th house Virgo like that, the gift you have is to be able to see the details where other people can't. So eventually you learn, instead of becoming criticizing or judgmental or perfectionistic, you become someone who's very analytical, who can see right to the heart of something, and that can help others expose their fears and learn how to deal with the fears that they have. And I don't remember, I just saw something about you on YouTube, Luminous Orchards, and I cannot remember what it is. I thought it was something to do with art. Maybe something like that showing up in your artwork, where you're releasing yourself from perfectionism, maybe releasing yourself from the details, seeing the bigger picture might be the Achilles heel that you have there. And doggone it, I can't get back here. All right, there we go. Da, da, Back luminous orchard's got that Deborah Johnson North Node and Venus in the 12th in Cancer. So again, so the North Node in the 12th house, it's kind of secreted away. It's one you might have to go searching for. You might have to see the benefit of what it is. The fear might be, oh, abandonment, a big issue there in that 12th house with Cancer there. And maybe even feeling unlovable in some ways, right? Where my parents left me, or my girlfriends or boyfriends all leave me, so I must not be good enough, and you know, everybody abandons me. So Venus there then is teaching you about your own value. You have to find your own value and not abandon yourself, right? Not abandon yourself. Sylvester, we talked about yours. Asa has Venus, Mercury, Sun, Pallas, and Juno in Libra in the 12th house. So Pallas, Venus, and Mercury, and the Sun. So you have a bit of energy there, Asa. So a lot of places where you're sabotaging yourself. Why? Right? Why are you, what's the sabotage all about? So with Venus here, is it not seeing your value? Mercury, is it not speaking up when you need to? The Sun, are you hiding your light? Pallas Athena, I think, is the biggest clue here in that she is the warrior goddess, right? She is the goddess of war. She comes, she's born, she emerges into the world fully formed with everything she needs, right? Wisdom, her weapons, her ability to see right from wrong and to find that middle ground. Libra, you have the ability to see that middle ground, and all you need is the fearlessness that goes with it, right? The fearlessness to just do what it is that you're here to do, right? Not living by other people's means, not living by what other people want for you, not living from anything except that, my manifestor friend, that you want to initiate something. And your will, which happens to be your power center, your heart center, is to do what it is. Thy will be done. There you go. That's how I want to speak about it for you, Asa. Juno, that's funny because I just downloaded a Kindle book on Juno. And there's a long story as to why I did that. But Juno seemingly representing the more kind of homey marriageable partner kind of energy here. So maybe seeking a partner that is of your equal, right? In that case. Liz Stuprich, new, welcome, has Pluto in Scorpio in the 12th. Well, wow. That's a deep well, if you ask me, Liz. A deep well. First of all, Scorpio is about passion and about an intensity and pursuing information or investigating something. So there's a passion to find, to get to the underside. So maybe you've been engaged, and what would really support you with Pluto there is the transformation of the dark, of the underworld, or of the unseen realm into the light. So whether you do that just for yourself, or whether you are helping other people process, like by being a coach, a counselor, a psychologist, all of those things can be very helpful. Your 12th house can be very helpful in helping others to transform, but you have to transform yourself first. So taking a very sharp look, if you will, or a deep look, dare to go into those darker places and elevate yourself from the self-sabotage, the self-stinging scorpion to the eagle, right? To even the phoenix. This is phoenix energy you have here. You may die and be reborn many times in this lifetime as you merge through those different fears that may be sitting there. And I can't believe it, but it's already 9 o'clock and I haven't really even talked about what I really wanted to talk about today. So we may have to reach that for tomorrow. And Pauline has Mars and the part of fortune in Cancer in the 12th house. So remember when we talked about Mars that picks fights, that causes conflict or disruption out of an unconscious need to be able to feel valued, to be able to see how your conflict or the conflict that you create or the disturbance in the force is really a call for more forgiveness, for more love, for more gratitude in your life. And then what sign was that, Pauline? It was in Cancer. So I would look to see if there's anger for you at women, to women in your life, sisters or your mother or mothering. What type of mother were you? Did you apply different skills to being a mother than what you were, how you were treated as a child from your mother? And how is all of that bound up in the unconsciousness? Do you unconsciously smother because you didn't get enough love or enough nurturing? And being able to look at that, right? To be able to bring that up, and then you can become the warrior, right? The champion for those people who haven't been loved or who haven't been nurtured or taken care of. So it becomes something for you, the part of fortune that brings you joy when you enter into that advocacy, if you will, kind of being an advocate for the disenfranchised or the people who need more nurturing, feeding, right? Feeding people, as it were. Okay, so two things big time here that before we go, that's enough for the 12th house right now. Today, the sun and earth change gates. We've moved into the gate 43. I'm going to show a quick picture of that. Well, actually, Ace is going to post that for me, so I'm not even going to worry about that. But this begins the week of insight, right? Being able to see your brilliance, to really understand that every person is a genius, right? Genius is from the root word, the same root word as the genes in your DNA, not the kind you wear. So your genes, everyone has them. Everyone has their point of genius. And this is the week to break through to your genius. The earth will be at the gate 23, which is gate of simplicity, breaking it all down to its simplest form. Stop complicating and complexifying your world by trying to, well, you know, you all do it. We all do it, right? We're always trying to make things more complex. This isn't a need to simplify and see those insights. And there's far more to it. We'll talk about that perhaps tomorrow. And as well, today is the day 13 in our Pleiadian Earth energy. We are at the point of ascension, right? The Pleiadian. So for those of you who are new with us today, hold on, I got to take this apart. We're talking about the Pleiadian Earth energy calendar. This is the 2020. 2021 is now available, and you can get that from the website for Pia Orlean. I'll post that for people that are new. And today's 13 seeing energy was men in the Mayan calendar. Men was the representation of the eagle. How interesting that we had an opportunity to speak about the eagle, elevating our perception, our perspective, seeing things from a higher point of view, but being able to hone in on the details, but to not lose the big picture in the process. This is preparing us for our one intuiting that comes tomorrow. So take a look back today over the first, the 13-day spiral of consciousness here that began on October 30th with one devoting. And what have you found that you're devoted to? And how has that played out in this spiral of consciousness? And we'll talk more about that with the one intuiting tomorrow. Don't forget, tonight at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, I will be on Angel Heart Radio for the last of our conversation about the solar plexus mutation that's occurring, that is slated to be completed in 2027, albeit right now we are in the midst of it, right? This disruption that we're all feeling is about this change that's going on, this evolution that's occurring within our very DNA and within the structure of our energetic being. So how you connect with that is you go to the Angel Heart Radio Facebook page. The broadcast is live on that page, but that you can also get the recording of that later on. That is it for me today, I think. Have a great day, everybody, and I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow. Bye for now.